Hallelujah. Amen. Come on and give God some praise. I've noticed that most folks are trying, everybody's trying to stand on something other than the Word of God. If you stand on something other than to the Word, you're standing in sinking sand. It'll feel good to the bottom of your feet, but it'll allow you to sink. Amen. But I like something solid up under my feet. Amen. I want to know that if I move too suddenly, that it's going to still hold me up. It is the Word of God. I was telling Brother Andy, we were listening to the radio this morning, and you know, you cannot create revelation knowledge. It's got to come from God. We have gotten so intense in trying to get people to shout and to yell and to run around that we have creating our own revelation knowledge. I got excited this morning because I heard a man on the radio. He almost sounded just like me. I told Brother Andy, we come on Saturday nights, not Sunday mornings. And then he blessed because he opened up in the book of Genesis. God created man in his image and in his likeness. Then I lost it. Because then he said that God never meant for us to work with our hands, only to speak with our mouths. So I have an ending why we got them. Why'd he give us hands if he never intended for us to use them? Yep. You can work without hands, but you can get it done a lot easier with them. A man that don't work don't, I think you need your hands. You can't lay hands on the sick if you don't have. So we decided to turn him off. The Word will bear witness of itself. The Word is its own revelation. The Word will reveal itself if you study it long enough. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, I saw something this morning. I got so excited, I knocked coffee cup over. All over my pants, my socks. Now I got to rush and find something else to put on. Man, I was excited. I went to moving that laptop and knocked that coffee cup over. And that coffee was hot. My flesh said, what you going to do now, man of God? Let's see you work through this one. Listen to this, 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Yes, ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Where is my fan, Jesus? Tim don't like his fan. Come on, baby, act right. Well, glory. Now, as we look at these verses, I saw something that God is so good. He is, he's just such a blessing, such a revealer of his word. And I heard God say, now remember, Paul wrote this. I said, okay, I understand that, Lord. He said, well, if Paul wrote it, if he wrote this book, what do you think he's talking about? Every book that Paul wrote had to deal with the old man. Every book. Not one, but every book had to deal with your conversation, not your talk, but your walk.
Yeah.
Every book he wrote. So why would this book be any different?
Yeah.
I hear folks say, well, that's to the Hebrews. Well, pretty much so. Pretty much so. But as a man thinketh, so is he. He said, wherefore seeing, wherefore perceiving, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I got excited about this. You know why I got excited about this? Nancy, you're going to like this. I got excited about this because this cloud of witnesses that they're talking about are those that have gone on to be in God. How many hear me? When it says that we're compassed about, the word compassed means encircled or surrounded. That means that we're surrounded by folks that have gone on to be with the Lord. Even way back then, that means that Paul is still around, and John and Peter and Luke and John, they're still around. That means that Timothy and all these folks are still around. We're compassed. We're surrounded by them. Look at you. And the reason it says so great a cloud, because it wants you to see just how large it is. How many folks are moving and operating in the spirit. See, we think when folks get dead, they just go sit at the throne of Jesus. Well, that's it. This is a done deal. Folks still working. You don't believe it? Remember the man who asked Abraham, what did he say? Abraham, can you send somebody back down to do something for my brothers and my sisters? Y'all better be listening. A great cloud or a large cloud of witnesses, martyrs, those that have died in God and went to heaven in God and refused to give up on their faith and refused to give up on the knowledge of God or who Christ was in their life. He said, but let us lay aside, let us put away every burden. How many of y'all got burdens today? I need a crane so I can lift my whole body up. But he's saying, you got to lay it aside because all these witnesses are trying to demonstrate something. You ever felt like you felt somebody in the spirit? You were praying or you were meditating upon the word of God and you felt somebody in the spirit and they felt close to you? Well, maybe I was praying one, seeking God one day, and I was praying and I know I heard my mother say, about time you got it right. I look around. It's about time you got it right. Your mothers, your fathers have come to you in your dreams or in the spirit and said, you can make it. And you're going, nah, can't be. But you have to put it aside. See, and the word and passed about, it's always talking about the word quantity. The word with means quantity. And then we're talking about the word weight. It means you got to put aside your burdens. And then this is where Paul changes the whole message. He wants you to understand that the reason you got to put aside these burdens because there's someone trying to take you out. Wants to take you out. So when you put these burdens down and put them aside, and then you have to do what? The sin, the word sin is translated offense. There's something in your life that has become an offense to you that always wants to remind you why you cannot be saved. Wants to remind you why God don't hear you. Your mistakes want to remind you that you're not going to make it. Your mistakes try to remind you that you'll never be blessed. Those are offenses, but they also become burdens because they're burdening you down. They become like yokes around your neck. They're keeping you from moving to the next level. They're keeping you from seeking God. They're keeping you from worshiping God, or they're keeping you from this and they're keeping you from that. You know, I hear people all the time. I hear people whine and complain about giving God their time. The preachers are spinning it. Man, shut up. You gonna complain about what you're doing for the church, and then you gonna run down to the casino and drop $3,000. Don't nobody here do that, so I ain't talking to y'all. But you can't let this offense, which does so easily beset you, you can't let this thing mess you up. You can't let it separate you from where you're trying to get to. You have got to stand fast. You got to say, does so easily beset. You got to be relieved. It's in the word in your Bible says, does so easily beset us. But mine just means does so easily beset. Because it wants you to know, make this personal. And then it says, and let us, or let's run. With patience. And we need a lot of that today. And translated in the Greek, it just simply means endurance. Endurance. Runners do what? They run. They practice. They run. To do what? To strengthen their lungs. Swimmers do what? They swim. To not just strengthen their limbs, but also to strengthen their lungs. They do these things. Football players run hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laps. To do what? To strengthen their lungs so that they'll have the ability and the capability to play the whole game. You can't last if you can't breathe. Amen. So you have to have endurance and consistency. You have got to be consistent in your walk with God. Yeah. And then remember, you're in a race. I like this. You're in a contest. Yeah. But then there's another word that goes along with it. Listen to it closely. You're also in a conflict. You're in a battle. You're in a warfare. Folks better wake up and smell the coffee. They better wake up and smell the coffee. Let me tell you, Paul said in the end time, or in the last days, there were going to be perilous times. What he meant by perilous times is that in the end time, men will be turned over to themselves. See all this rash of shootings that's going on? Folks shooting 2 and 3 people at a time. Taking folks out of here. Shooting 20 people. Or shooting, going into theaters and going in the schools and just shooting up folks. And then the old nature of what is coward itself kills itself. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen anything yet. It's some stuff about to happen in the earth in this year that's going to shake your very foundation. It's going to shake your core. But you better have enough word in you to understand that these things happen all the time, and that as long as you abide in Him, He'll abide in you, and it's His job to keep you, protect you, and to preserve you. You know what? Let me tell you something. I've seen folks leave here. I've seen folks leave here at the age of 85, and they didn't look 85. Because God preserved them and kept them. Now, the word of God said it's appointed unto every man to die once, so we got to go. And just like no man know the hour when Jesus is coming, nobody know, you don't know the hour when you leaving here. That's why you have to pray consistently, all the time, be ready all the time. Paul was letting them know, you were in a contest. You are in a contest, and there's a conflict going on within you. There's a, I call it, conflict of interest. The reason I call it conflict of interest, because you, God is telling you to do one thing, and you telling you need to do something else. And if you're not in your word, most of the time you're going to follow you. I asked God one time, I said, Lord, how did I get here? He said, go look in the mirror. That's how you got there. Amen. So as we run this race, and Paul said, it's been set before you. But you has got this present to your mind. That means I've given you God has given you the ability to see it before you get it. How many heard that? Amen. Most of the trouble that comes in your life, you see it aforetime. But guess what? Your feet just keep right on moving. And we've gotten to the place where there's been times when I would be going through and I'd say, Ma, tell me what I need to do. Ma, tell me what I need to do here. Because she was full of suggestions, full of advice. Most of it was wrong, but some of it was right. But she was still full of advice. But what he said here is, you've got to turn away from that. You've got to stop trusting in you. You've got to stop trusting in the witnesses. And you've got to stop trusting in you. Because if you keep trusting in you, you're going to find yourself messed up. You're going to find yourself set. It's been set before you. It's already there. But you have to be able to see it. He says, looking unto Jesus. Looking has to do with you seeing or perceiving in the spirit. And then the word unto doesn't mean unto. It means through. Stop calling on Jesus from heaven and call on the Jesus that's in your life. Heavenly Father, let the Christ, the hope of glory that's in me, the hope of hope, let him help me. Let him strengthen me. Let him give me the endurance that I need to make it through this storm that I'm in. How many ever seen that movie, Perfect Storm? A lot of the trials and tribulations we're going through, they are called perfect storms. Because they are so magnificent in their shape and in their ideas and in their principles. A lot of times you don't even see that it's a storm until it's to swept you up. You need to see what kind of storm is coming your way. Amen. It don't do much good to go hide in your storm shelter if it's just snowing. Go out and spend $3,000 on water. The end of the earth. But let me tell you something. It's a possibility that the old man is setting us all up. Because he got all these preachers telling you when the end of the earth. They were going on this. What's the Indians? The Mayans. They was going on that. And they had all these predictions and all these things they prophesying about the end of the world. The end of the world. But see, Jesus is going to speak to your heart and you're going to say, no, it ain't. The little boy that cries wolf ain't going to be wolf. It's going to be the Lamb of God. But you've got to be ready. You can't keep carrying, you're letting your burden separate you from the mind that God wants to be in you, which is a mind of God, which is a mind of Christ. Baby, I'm trying to tell you. Because you got to look into Jesus. He's the author. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. What got me excited, though, Norma, was when I realized something. Wait a minute. If I get myself into it, something, do that mean that he's the author of it? Or is he the author of the endurance that's in my life? Author means originator. Ah, but now I'm finna mess y'all up. Remember, what did he say up here? He said, everything that is set before us. I know y'all don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear this. Oh, you want to hear that your storm was already prepared for you. You want to hear that? You want to hear that God already prepared a whale to swallow you up so that you'll decide to serve him the way you're supposed to? Amen. It's already been set. Who caught up the whale? Eh, glory to God, whatever. Am I boring y'all this morning? He is the author. Amen. He is the author and the finisher. He is the originator and he's the consummator. How many know what it is to consummate something? You consummate your marriage. When you consummate your marriage, he makes you what? You become now one. Well, Jesus is the beginning. He's the originator. And then he comes to consummate or bring to perfection or to cause us to become one with who he is in our lives. But there are so many things that are going on in our lives that won't allow him to become one because we think we can do it all. That's because people expect you to do it all. And then when you laid up sick, they done forgot you exist. Like this thing I'm dealing with, it's a weight. It is a weight. A cold is a weight. It's a burden. It is a burden. Forgive me. So, he says, we've got to run this race with endurance because it's already been set before us, but we have to look and perceive that the Christ in us, who is our hope of glory, we got to look to the inside of us and see Jesus, who is the originator, not just of everything else that is taking place, but he's also the originator of the deliverance. He's the originator of the healing. He's the originator of being a way maker. He's the originator of your peace. He's the originator of your joy. He's the originator of your love. He's the originator of your consistency. He's the originator of your faith. He is the originator. And then when he does that, when he sees that you're going to go through and you're not going to complain and you're not going to bellyache, you're not going to murmur because things aren't going the way you want them to go, because you don't have the finance that you need, because there seem to be trouble on every side, you don't complain about it, but you say, Lord, I don't like it, but I glorify you anyway. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to praise you anyway. What he does is he consummates your mindset and he consummates your heart and he consummates your spirit. Now that which was persecuting you, now you're persecuting it. It says he is the consummator of faith. Your Bible says of our faith. But it's the word our in the original writings is not even there. It's supposed to read the author and the consummator of faith. Amen. Somebody say faith. Amen. Or pistis faith. Amen. That means what? Pistis faith means divinely implanted principle that's in your life. So why not look to it? That's why I said the just shall live by. It means that if you're going to be righteous, you got to live in Christ. You got to do it. Amen. Glory to God. Who for the joy, can you, when you think of joy, you think strength, you know, because we know the joy of the Lord is your strength. But the word joy is translated calm delight. How many need some peace? Amen. For the peace or the calm delight that was what? Here we go with the word set again. That was placed before him. He did what? He endured. What did we say the word endure was? Endure means to be patient. He endured the cross. Now, if you look at the cross translates and means exposure to death. Or self-denial. Or if you research the type of wood that they used to make the cross, it's called shittim wood. That's S-H-I-T-T-I-M. It's called shittim wood. The reason it's used a specific wood, because that wood it talks about humanity. Yeah. What he had to do, he had to deny his own humanity. Y'all don't hear me. For the joy that was set before him, the calm delight or the presence of the Father that was before him, he did what? He endured, he patiently, or he dealt with his humanity. It also means self-denial. When they tell you you have to bear your cross, it's talking about you have to deny yourself. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Because if I don't die daily, I'll never pick up my cross. Now, you have to remember what happened on the cross. They nailed his feet. They nailed his hands. Humanity will always try to separate you from your walk in God. Humanity will always try to stop your works in him. What is your humanity? You. Your nature and your character, which doesn't represent God, will always try to separate you from what God has placed in your spirit or the promises that God has given you. But you can't let it. You have got to keep fighting. It says he endured the cross, despising the disgrace. That ain't easy. And it's not easy. Despising the disgrace, he did what? He completed ministry. Amen. A lot of folks have given up on their ministries because they couldn't take the pressure. Because it's been too hot in the kitchen. I talked to a young man. I said, hey, you still preaching the gospel? Oh, man, I'm a truck driver. I said, what happened? I said, man, the folks got on my nerves. And? Being on the CD, all CB all day don't get on your nerves. I guess you can tell I don't have very many friends. But here it is again. And as it was set before him, he despised the shame or the humility and the disgrace. Now, come on now. You know what he's saying? Jesus recognized that he was the Son of God. He knew who he felt and knew who he was. He knew that he was in the beginning with the Father. He knew that he was the originator, the creator of all things. He knew this. But then to be put on a cross for a bunch of folks that despised him and didn't like him and talked about him and abused him and persecuted him, to do it nevertheless, because you can see the calm delight, or you can witness or see or sense in the spirit the presence of God, because God's going to move for you and bless you because you stood when you wanted to give up. It says he sat down. Now, it says, and is set down. It didn't say he sat down. There's a difference. To be set means he was put in order or charged by his Father. Guess what the Father did? When Jesus got back to the Father after he went through all he went through, for humanity, the Father set him in and say, now you're the firstborn of many brethren. Remember what he told Abraham? Abraham, you shall be the father of many nations. Guess what? Jesus, my son. That's why you get these folks that preach that there ain't no Father. Because the Father gave his authority to the Son to rule the earth and everything else that he originally created. Yeah. Yeah, glory. I gotta hurry up. I gotta close.
Lando kolo ya tabaki opo shando no kobo shiliaba sha shando mo kobo shanda ilobo ko shando no kolia tabashiko shiliobo ko shanda ilobo ko shando no kobo kia landia tabaki olobo shanda nikaba iko iko.
Thank you, Jesus. Don't think it's strange, the things that you're going through. For they come to war against the Spirit of God that is in you. But I have given you strength, and I have given you power. And I have given you, put the anointing within your life, which is my Son, which shall destroy every yoke. But you got to stand on the promise and the word that I've given unto thee. For there are many that would say that you cannot make it, but I have already proclaimed that you have already made it. So walk in that which you have seen. Don't be moved by what you hear, and don't be soon shaken by what you see. But know that I am the Lord God, the King of all things, and I am the Creator, the Originator of all things, and I shall bring forth the blessing within your life. All I say, my children, is that you continue to worship me and praise me, that you stay consistent in your worship, that you be consistent in your praise, and you be unmoved by the circumstances and situations of this life, but understand this, that it shall be my people that shall rule even this earth, saith God. For you shall be meek and humble in me, and I shall strengthen thee, and I shall fortify thee. And all those trials and the storms that are going on in your life, I may not calm them, but I will raise you up so that you have the ability to look into the center of the storm and see the blessing. You'll look into trouble and see the blessing. You'll look into the heartache and see the healing, for I shall do this even for thee, my children. Therefore, worship me in spirit and in truth, and my presence shall dwell with thee, saith God. At the right hand of the throne of God, right hand means place of authority and dominion. Now, for all you folks complaining about what you're going through, and you think that you're all by yourself, and you keep hollering, why me? Or even if you don't say, why me, you say it in your mind, why me, Lord? Why I got to go through this? I do this, I do that, I've been here, I done done that, I done gave to the poor, I done did this, I done, why me? He says, for consider him that endures. Huh? Consider him. Yes. Think about it. Think about the price he paid on the cross that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Consider it. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Him that endured or put up with the cross or the contradiction. How many really know who Jesus was? I mean, you really knew who Jesus was. You know that Jesus knew what people were thinking before they thought it. He knew what was in your heart, even though you might have had 20 layers of clothes on. So think about it. Here he is on the cross. And he can hear every thought of every person that's out there. And just about every thought he hears is ridiculing him, persecuting him, saying, if you're the Son of God, come down. Where's your power now? Where's your authority now? Don't nobody in here be like to be called out their name. I guarantee you they called him some stuff in Hebrew that'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. But he considered him that endured such contradiction to think against. He could hear them folks' thoughts of sinners against him. The word against means to be up against. So whatever they were thinking, whatever they were saying, it was like it was pressing on him. It was so hurtful and so painful. But you got to consider it all. Lest you be wearied and say to your minds, don't think what you're going through is more than what anybody else is going through. Don't think that your heartache is worse than anybody else's heartache. Don't think that your pain is any greater than anybody else's pain. But you have to take it to the Lord in prayer. You have to take it to Him. Call upon Him. And He'll answer your prayer. Because you'll be weary. You don't want to get weary now. And give up and faint in your minds. If you lose it in your spirits, you are not going to make it. If you get weary and faint in your spirit, you are not going to make it. Amen. Imagine all the folks that's them give up on the kingdom of God. Because God didn't move when He thought they should have moved. Amen. I've had people leave the church because God didn't heal them because they thought they should have got healed. Sometimes you have to search yourself. Amen. All the time. Excuse me. All the time you have to search yourself and make sure you're right. Excuse me some more. Why? Why would you complain, bellyache, about what you're going through? You ain't resisted unto death yet. Ye have not resisted unto blood. How much blood you have shed for the kingdom of God? How much have you bled? But then we can take this a little bit deeper. How much are you willing to bleed for the kingdom of God? Blood don't always have to come out of your body. It can come out of your spirit. And folk will love to suck you dry. They'll take everything that you have in God and give you nothing in return. You have got to be careful who you associate yourself with today. Because everybody don't want what you want in God. And I don't care how supernatural you may think you are, how powerful you might think you are, you might think you're one of them folks that can raise the dead, open blinded eyes and deaf ears. But if you associate yourself with the right person, you better believe they got flesh. They got just as much power as you do to trick you and to deceive you and to pull you out of your rightful place in God. So don't get weary and faint in your mind. And don't, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Just because you fight against your own nature, you ain't bleeding. Yet. Yet. Just like Cain killed Abel, that flesh going to draw some blood from you. And it'll make you want to give up. It'll make you want to stop fighting. It'll make you want to stop running. Because you'll say, it ain't worth it. But it is. It is. We got to look unto Jesus today. Stop looking all around you. Stop looking to everybody else. Look to Jesus. Stop trying to find somebody to put fault on or to blame for your condition and for your circumstance and accept responsibility yourself and begin to move on to the things of God. Unless you first accept responsibility, you don't know you got a problem. Jesus said, who you think you are? Look what I went through. Man, I'm on the cross and they still talking about me. I'm hanging on the cross. You think that would be enough? Nope. Now they got to stick a reed of vinegar in my mouth to make sure they dry out my inward man. Now they got to pierce my side. And if you study that, you'll find out that when they pierced his side, that the blade actually touched his rib, trying to destroy his strength. And he got tired. Father. Father. I can't see your face no more. I can't feel your heartbeat. I can't sense your presence. Why have you left me? Because God turned his back on him. Because what he had to do, he had to do it without the help of the Father. Sometimes you got to rely on the Christ that's in you, and you've got to do what you know to do for the kingdom of God, and you can't expect the Father to come down and sit next to you and wrap his arm around you and tell you all the time, it's going to be okay. You know the saying, it is what it is? Change it. Make it what you want it to be. Amen. When I get to whining about what I'm going through, I think about Jesus. I said, that's all right, Lord, forget I said it. You don't have to search the intents of my heart no more. I'm okay. So you better pick up your cross. And you better carry it. Amen. We have to learn and understand that we have to do this thing. And there's going to be obstacles and storms in every area of your life that separate you and keep you from it. But if you abide in him, that means if you comfort yourself in him, if you relax in God, he'll move in you. He will definitely move in you. I am so excited. I'm so excited about Jesus. I was so beat up yesterday. Just weary. I was weary. I was actually weary. And when you get weary and you begin to faint, I understand what it means by in your minds. Because then your mind shuts down on you and you can't see the big picture. You no longer can see the blessing. You can no longer see God moving. And once you get to a place in your life where you can't see him moving, then you'll stop reacting to the power of God. And God had to relieve me of that pressure. I had to leave that burden. Let it go. So I could go back to seeing Brother Little John, the big picture. That which the creator and the consummator had created and perfected. Amen. You have to decide today where you're going in God. We can preach 7 days a week and you can be in every service. You can listen to teaching tapes 24 hours a day. You can listen to worship songs 48 hours every 2 days. And until you decide what you want from God and where you want to go with him, you will never make it. Amen. You won't make it. Amen. But when I think about what Jesus went through, and then what Jesus also said when he's talking about the cloud of witnesses, look at what some of them went through. Some of them folks got thrown in the lion's dens. I was looking at an article on the internet from one of the libraries in Chicago on the writings of Jesus. And they told how they used to take some of the Christians, listen to this, take some of the Christians and tie this hand and this foot to a horse, and the other hand and the other foot to another horse. And they would smack them horses, and they would snatch that person apart while he was screaming. And the gallery were hooraying and shouting, kill the Christian. Kill the Christian. You don't think there's somebody in your life saying the same thing? They got you tied between two horses. And they're trying to see if it's going to snatch you apart. But you know what we got that they didn't have? We have the indwelling power of God. Amen. So it don't matter how far they stretch you, the anointing and the power of Jesus will pull you back together. Because greater is he that's in you. Oh, man. Folks, we on our way. I ought to stop worrying about what I can't see and what I don't hear. And I'm asking God to teach me to keep my feelings under subjection to this. Because then it won't hinder my walk in God. If you think about all the mess you went through in 2012? You still got it. But guess what you do have? You have more knowledge, more understanding, and you're closer to God now than you've ever been in your life. Because the stuff you made it through, most folks would have gave up. Most folks would have given up and went back to their old vices. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because there is an originator, a creator that's living in you. See, that's why you can call those things that are not as though they are, because there's a creator in you. And when you speak, that word goes out into the atmosphere, to the universe, into the earth, and begins to create for you. But you've got to do what? You have to realize that he is the author and the finisher of faith. And the faith is in you. That divinely implanted principle that is in you, you've got to start relying on it. Rely on the faith in you. It's greater than you think it is. It's more powerful than you ever imagined. It's in there. And he's waiting to be used. He's waiting to be called upon. Call upon me and I'll do great and mighty things. But you got to call upon him. Don't wait on me to do it for you. Do it yourself. Everyone stand.